wake up, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes.
We have a short week with a lot to get to. The Vikings lose to the Lions. The Vikings face the Steelers. We don't know what would happen if the Vikings actually lose to the Steelers and fall to 5-8. Let's ask Jeff Diamond, former Vikings general manager, what the scene is like around the Vikings, what is on the table if they lose, and what else is going on around the NFL as this season continues to become more and more fascinating. This is Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Thank you to a couple of our key people at Talk North, Brandon Morton, our longtime producer, and Karen Clear, our excellent sales executive. If you would like to advertise this show or any shows on the network, you can reach Karen at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. However you listen, we recommend subscribing at your favorite podcast app, or you can always go to TalkNorth.com, see the full slate of shows and the archives for those shows, outdoor content, variety content, new shows coming, and the best sports lineup in town. All right, Jeff, let's get to it, and let's do this chronologically. Let's start with the Vikings losing to Detroit in what I think was, you know, listen, I understand that there are upsets, and I understand that the Vikings were banged up, and we're on their fourth road trip in 5 weeks and all that. What I don't understand is how a defensive coach like Mike Zimmer calls a timeout before the last play of the game, and his defensive backs let an anonymous receiver run to the front of the end zone, stand there and turn and catch a touchdown pass. I don't understand that.
That was awful. And you are right, Jim. It was really let's call it inexplicable.
Yes.
That whole last series to me, when the Lions get the ball with 1:50 to go, and on some level, you have to feel sorry for Kirk Cousins this year, because he's put them in position to win several games, and then the defense has folded at the end. And he's had his moments where he's come up short too, but there have been several times, including this past game, where he put him in a position to win and the defense couldn't deliver. And you're set up so perfectly with no timeouts, and the Lions start driving down the field. The Vikings are playing soft coverage. They're not blitzing on that entire series, which I didn't understand, because the times that they put pressure on Jared Goff, who's an immobile quarterback, was when Blake Lynch was blitzing, or Harrison Smith. And even on the last series, I think he had 12 dropbacks, only one time did they send extra blitzers. And Smith and Vigil on that one occasion forced a near interception. If Bashad Breeland can catch the ball, which he's got terrible hands, but that's beside the point. So why would you not come with more pressure at the end? And I thought it was one of the things as I watched that kind of crazy New England Buffalo game last night, Jim, and I remember a playoff game. It was actually my last NFL game with the Titans when we were in the divisional playoff against New England. It was a cold night in Foxborough back in about 2004, and we were facing a similar situation that Buffalo was the end of the game. And sure enough, what does Belichick do? He sends the house after Steve McNair, who was a mobile quarterback, and incomplete pass, game over, Patriots move on. And in this situation against the Lions, I just couldn't understand why Zimmer just did not put some pressure on Goff in that situation. They're on the 12-yard line, 11-yard line. They need time to run these routes, and along with the fact that Cam Dantzler was asleep in the end zone. If you look at the replay of that, he is looking so casual, flat-footed, backpedals into the end zone, which is a cardinal sin in a goal line situation, especially if you have a safety coming over the top to help. It just was the worst, seriously, one of the worst cornerback coverages in a critical situation I've ever seen in whatever 40, 50 years of following NFL football. It was awful. And they call a timeout. You just don't understand why they aren't saying, okay, now make sure you don't let those guys run curls a yard or so into the end zone, as St. Brown did against Dantzler. It was horrible, that play. And as I said, Cousins takes them back. The Lions, Dan Campbell, tries to gift wrap the game to the Vikings by going for it on fourth and one from his own 28-yard line with 2 minutes to go. And, hey, great that you haven't won a game yet, but that was crazy. And then the Vikings immediately go down and score quickly on a touchdown pass to Jefferson. So I thought it was horrendous coverage, just a horrendous series as a whole. That last series when Detroit went down and scored, no blitzing, soft coverage, made no sense to me.
I want to thank our sponsors, Platinum Bank, one of our newer sponsors across TalkNorth.com, and also our long-running sponsor, White Bear Lake Superstore, WhiteBearLakeSuperstore.com. We'll tell you more about them in a minute. Also, we have the Viking Update Show up at TalkNorth.com. That show is already out this week. It's John Krasinski and I talking about the Vikings. This show, of course, relies on the expertise of Jeff Diamond, former NFL Executive of the Year, also works with a player agency these days, so he sees football from all kinds of cool perspectives. So one thing John and I talked about already this week is, listen, I don't have any idea who's going to win Thursday night. The Vikings very well could win and technically remain in the playoff race. If the Vikings lost on Thursday night to the Steelers, 5-8, not mathematically out of it, but probably realistically out of it, would there be any purpose into making a coaching change at this juncture? John and I didn't think so, just because, you know, all you'd be doing is just putting an interim in place who you're not going to hire full time anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that would be a mistake. I've never believed that that's going to help the cause at this point in time. And I think that you have to play it out. Even if they were to lose, they could still win their last four and get in, which would be unlikely, as you said. But I do think they have a reasonable chance to win this week. They are a 3-point favorite, so obviously Vegas thinks they can win. And the Steelers have to travel on a short week. They haven't been great this year. The interesting kind of change, role reversal that we've got is that everybody thought that the Vikings would beat Detroit coming into this game with momentum at 500 and have Pittsburgh coming on a short week. The Steelers had gotten ripped by the Bengals the week before. And so what happens? The Vikings lose to the Lions. The Steelers beat the Ravens, their arch rival, on the last second. Ravens go for two, and T.J. Watt gets in Lamar Jackson's face and forces the incompletion. And so all of a sudden, the Steelers are feeling good. The Vikings are not feeling so good. Who's the more desperate team? I think they're both pretty desperate because they both need a win. The Steelers are still in the AFC North title race with Baltimore and Cincinnati, and they're a half game out of a wild card. The Vikings are only a game behind Washington and San Francisco in the wild card race. And both of those teams have tough games this week. Washington's got Dallas, and San Francisco goes to Cincinnati. So it's the NFL world. The world can change dramatically in 1 week. It did for the Vikings with this loss to Detroit, and it did for the Steelers. So, as you said, who knows what's going to happen, but I think the Vikings have some potential advantages matchup-wise in this game. If they can block T.J. Watt, I think they got a chance to win. But I'm also concerned about what they're going to do with that offensive line, because I did not like the shuffling of the offensive line, as your comrade Mark Craig pointed out in the Star Trib, to change three spots instead of just sticking Rashad Hill in for Darrisaw with his ankle injury at left tackle, instead of switching one spot, made it kind of difficult. Then you put Ole Udo in his first career start at left tackle, and that's tough. And so I just think, I don't know what they're going to do with that offensive line this week. It looks like Darrisaw has not practiced so far, and the Vikings do have injury problems, as you said, with Darrisaw. Thielen, I don't see him coming back from that ankle that quick. Dalvin Cook's probably not back till the Monday night game against the Bears. Byron Kendricks were limited in practice, so it looks like they could return. Patrick Peterson's off the COVID list, and that's critical because those two corners out there, Dantzler and Breland, wow, they're just so shaky, so inconsistent. At least if Peterson's out there, maybe only one of those guys has to play.
A very good point. Hey, Mike Tomlin was here for a year as a defensive coordinator on a 6-10 team. It looks like the Steelers are about to hire one of their old offensive linemen like Russ Grimm or somebody like that. And Tomlin goes in and wows the Steeler brass in his interview. They hire him. He wins the Super Bowl. Now he's one of the longest tenured coaches in the league. What's your view of Mike Tomlin, his rise and his career?
Yeah, I think he is just so solid. I think he's got a really solid relationship with management, with ownership, and with his players. And I think they play hard for him. I think he strategically is a solid coach. And so I just think he's one of the best and has been really for a decade plus now. And as you said, started with doing some work with the Vikings and back in Tampa Bay, and he has earned his way up and did a great job. And so I think he's a guy that I have a lot of respect for. And he'll have the Steelers ready on a short week.
Yeah, and I also, as you pointed out, listen, if the Ravens convert a 2-point conversion, the Steelers lose and everything's very glum for them. I did think, regardless of that outcome, that they seemed to find something in the second half against the Ravens. They got Deontay Johnson going. They got Claypool going. They have a good young back in Najee Harris. They have a good tight end. I know the offensive line is a little shaky right now. But it almost felt like to me, and watching it through a Vikings prism, that the Steelers were starting to put it together.
Yeah, definitely true. And they're sitting at 6-5-1, and as we said, half game out of a playoff spot and still in the division race. So they're going to bring it this week, but they do have some holes. They're rushing offense. Najee Harris is a good player, but he's only averaging 3.6 a carry because the offensive line is shaky, as you said. They have a good passing offense, but Roethlisberger's been sacked 25 times, and he's traditionally has been a tough guy to sack. Such a big guy back there. And Deontay Johnson, Claypool, Freiermuth is an excellent rookie tight end, has 6 touchdown receptions. So there's plenty for the Vikings to be concerned with and to have to cover. If they can stop the run, which the Steelers have had trouble running, and I'm sure the Steelers are looking at the Vikings defense and saying, hey, they're 29th against the run. We're going to try to run on them with Najee. But the Steelers are 27th against the rush. I think both teams are going to try to run it this week a little bit and then count on their quarterbacks to make plays. And I think it's going to be an exciting game. I think it's going to be a potentially high-scoring game. Even though the Steelers played a low-scoring game against Baltimore, I think that there could be some points in this game. And let's face it, the offense has got to carry this team. And it's a concern with no Dalvin Cook, with no Thielen, perhaps this week, probably not. And if Darisaw's out, but Jefferson's a superstar, we know that. They're getting in the ball. It's probably the best thing that Clint Kubiak's doing because his 2-point conversion plays are horrid.
They are horrible. My God.
But he's getting the ball to Jefferson, and Cousins is too because they're putting him in motion. They're putting him in the backfield. They're getting him out in space and getting him open even as he's facing for sure double coverage on a regular basis, and especially with Thielen out. And so the offense has got to score points and probably have to score points at the end of the game. Maybe that was the problem. They scored too quick in the last 2 minutes against the Lions, gave Goff a little too much time, and then the Vikings screwed it up on defense. But I think the offense has got to carry this team. They are the 6th-ranked offense in the league. The Steelers have had trouble running the ball. They've been sacked, but they do have a good passing game. Their run defense isn't great. So I think the Vikings are going to have opportunities to make plays in this game. And, hey, just 2 weeks ago, Cincinnati beat Pittsburgh 41-10. So let's remember that. The Steelers, yeah, they beat the Ravens. But the Ravens are so banged up, too, that maybe that's not quite as impressive as we think.
I agree with you. This is a very winnable game for the Vikings if they play decently. That's the big question. Hey, I want to ask you about we talked about Tomlin. I want to talk to you about another prominent AFC coach. You can probably guess who I'm talking about. But first, we would like to thank one of our newer sponsors at TalkNorth.com, Platinum Bank.
Yeah, definitely, Jim. Platinum Bank, wonderful new sponsor. Is your bank a partner or simply a provider in today's environment? Businesses and individuals need a bank that can move quickly and act creatively. Platinum Bank understands the Twin Cities market, partnering with clients to overcome the challenges, capitalize on opportunities, and helping Twin Cities execs to grow their businesses. Platinum Bank's financial products are tailored to meet the unique needs of your organization and solve your problems, not create them. I'm a very happy Platinum Bank client and account holder, have personally experienced tremendous customer service working with Market President Nate Erfer and VP Drew Lynch. To learn how Platinum Bank can be an asset to your business, visit www.platinumbankmn.com. Platinum Bank, providing a means to a dream.
We have some live shows from Talk North coming up December 27th, the John Krasinski Show at 7 o'clock at Tuttle's Eat, Play, Bowl in Hopkins, with Tin Cup Whiskey providing some pregame stuff starting at 6:15. December 14th, the Cheryl Reef Show and our yearly, Gloria Ramsey's yearly Youth Winter Wear Drive, 7:30, downtown Pizza Luce on December 14th. It's a great cause. It's also a really good show, and we will be talking to Cheryl Reeve, longtime podcast partner and now the coach of Team USA Basketball. That announcement coming down this week. And on December 7th, if you hear this in time, Roy Smalley, Lavelle Neal, and myself will be at the Eden Prairie Pizza Luce celebrating Tony Oliva and Jim Cott going to Hall of Fame. Come out and join us. That show's at 6 o'clock. We also want to thank our longtime sponsors, White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Always excited to talk about the White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC, and my longtime friend, the owner, Paul Rubin, his general manager, Charlie Gattrell, their great staff, Minnesota's number one volume, Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running with the best selection and their super friendly premium team. Check out their great website, whitebearlakesuperstore.com, and you will see 0% APR up to 72 months on new 2021 and 2022 Buick SUVs, plus $500 purchase allowance for current Buick or GMC owners or lessees, and a 0% APR offer on most 2021 and 2022 GMC models, including the Sierra Crew Cab, the Acadias, and the Terrains, plus purchase allowances for those vehicles. The White Bear Lake Superstore also is the Quigley 4x4 Van Superstore. They're a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut. So visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at whitebearlakesuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade.
I'm fascinated by what Bill Belichick is doing this year. Gets a rookie quarterback to fall down to 15 or 16, wherever they picked him, and ends up with the best playing, maybe not the most talented, but the best playing rookie quarterback in the draft. He remakes the roster. He spends money on tight ends. He fixes the defense, and now they are on a surge like no other NFL team. And they go into Buffalo on a Monday night against their primary division rivals, and they throw the ball three times. They have two completions. They have one completion past the line of scrimmage. They ram it right down the throats of a team that was supposed to be a really physical, difficult team to play against. This feels to me like Bill Belichick telling the world, I still own the AFC, and I can still win the way I want to win, and I can still win even without Tom Brady.
And I'm still the best coach maybe of all time.
Yeah.
It was really a fascinating game. And you would think, oh, kind of boring, 14-10.
No, it's fascinating. No,
nobody's throwing the ball. But it was fascinating to see that the Patriots continuously running the ball, and Mac Jones, 2 for 3 in the game, was incredible. The snow and the wind blowing around, and it was a fun game to watch, and kind of reminiscent of some of our old games at Met Stadium.
Yeah,
but it was really impressive what New England did to go into Buffalo and win that game, and put pressure on Josh Allen when they had to put pressure on him at the end, unlike what the Vikings did to Jared Goff and force that incompletion at the end of the game. And Allen misses Stephon Diggs running open underneath, and I'm sure Stephon got in his ear, as he always did here. But, yeah, New England sitting there with the number one seed and teams thinking about going to Foxborough in January. I've been there with the Titans in the playoffs, and that's not fun. even with no Tom Brady there. And so I'm sure the NFL is thinking, How about a Brady Belichick Super Bowl matchup? Wouldn't that be kind of fun? But the Patriots, very impressive what they've done. As you said, rebuilding the defense, rebuilding the offense, the tight ends that they've signed, and they draft the rookie quarterback who's been the best out of all five rookie first rounders.
Yeah, it's fascinating to watch. And I'm not pro Belichick necessarily. You know, I'm not a Belichick fan by any means. But I do find him to be a completely fascinating figure. And I think he's even more fascinating now than when he was winning Super Bowls with Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think he's proving his coaching chops, shall we say, with the way that he's been able to rebuild this team so quickly. And it is fascinating to watch, and certainly New England is going to be a team to watch come playoff time. I'm just not sold on what's going on in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes this year. He just doesn't seem like the same guy, doesn't have the same weapons necessarily. Now, that's not to say that they're not going to get it going come playoff time, and they still have won whatever five in a row, but just have not been super impressive lately. And Buffalo is in a little bit of trouble. They'll still be a playoff team, I think, but they have to go to Tampa Bay this week, and that's going to be no easy game for them. And so it's interesting to look at the AFC. The Titans, when they get Derrick Henry back, they're a different team, and we'll see how it all shakes out. I think really the AFC and even looking at the NFC, Tampa Bay to me is still the strongest team overall, but Arizona, everybody kind of dismisses them all the time. Meanwhile, they're 10-2. And the Packers, I think, are still going to be a force to be reckoned with when they get a bunch of guys back like Jair Alexander and Za'Darius Smith. And the Vikings are going to probably see some of those guys come whatever it is, January 2nd in Lambeau or whenever they're playing them. That's going to be no easy game either.
I'm no question about it. We have some really interesting games to talk about here, Jeff. So let's get to our picks, just because it's a good way to talk about games and teams around the league. Once again, thank you to everyone who's listened to TalkNorth.com and helped us grow. Great outdoor content, the best sports content in the Twin Cities, and we're going to be adding some really cool shows here as well. So thank you for helping us grow. Please support our sponsors if you have the opportunity to do so. Let's start with this one. Bears at Green Bay. Green Bay giving 11.5.
Yeah, I think the Bears are just in trouble. Dalton had a terrible game. I don't expect Fields is coming back. Maybe he'll be back. I'm not sure. But I think in Green Bay in December, I think the Packers are going to waltz through this one. And then I think the worst thing that could happen for the Vikings is if the Bears pulled an upset and all of a sudden thought, hey, we're in the race here before the Vikings head to Soldier Field a week from Monday. So I think that, yes, in this situation, I like the Packers to win big.
I agree with you. Rams at Arizona. You talked about it. Arizona has the best team in the NFC. They played well without Kyler Murray. They played it well without DeAndre Hopkins and other, you know, key players being injured. Edmonds has been hurt. Chandler Jones is out with COVID for a while, and yet they still have the best record in the NFC. Are they the best team in the NFC?
Well, I don't think so. I still like Tampa Bay and perhaps the Packers, but the Cardinals have been doing it all year, basically, and even when Murray was out. And so I think come playoff time, especially if they can hold on to that number one seed and they don't have to go to Green Bay or Tampa, I think that they could have a chance to be a Super Bowl team because Kyler Murray is so explosive. But I just think that they're not quite ready yet. And although I do think that they will handle the Rams this week, what are they favored by, Jim?
Rams at Arizona. Arizona giving 3.
Yeah, I'll take the Cardinals. I think the Rams have been shaky. They got a big win over Jacksonville, big deal. And although I guess you could say the same thing about the Vikings playing Detroit, right?
Yeah.
But I think the Cardinals, this is kind of a really important game for them to kind of wrap up the division more or less. And I like the Cardinals in this game.
I think Stafford is banged up and it's really affected him. I also think the strategy of bringing in a bunch of new players in the middle of the season isn't really working out the way they hoped it would. I will also take Arizona. Let's do Dallas favored by 4.5 over Washington.
the Washington football team, as they call themselves, have now won four straight and have picked themselves up off the mat. And I think this is a really interesting game. I think that Dallas may come out ahead in the final analysis, win this game, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if Washington won it. And I certainly wouldn't give Dallas the 4.5. So I'll take Washington plus 4.5.
I agree with you. I think, it's just, if I had to pick straight up, I would pick Dallas, but so many of these games are coming down to field goals. In this game on that turf, I will take Washington to at least stay close enough to cover. Now, the big one, Pittsburgh at Minnesota, Thursday night, I'll be there. Vikings are giving up 3 points. Who do you like?
This is a really tough one, and I think it's just so close, and every Viking game has been close, and I think this is going to be another one that comes down to the wire. Who's got the ball at the end? And I think that Pittsburgh traveling on a short week, if I knew that Kendricks was playing, I'd feel better about the Vikings situation. I think Anthony Barr is just a shadow of his former self and not really that critical a guy. But missing Thielen, Cook, Darisaw on offense, if Kendricks is still banged up, I'm gonna take the Steelers in this game, and I'm gonna call it a 1 point or 2 point win for Pittsburgh. But it could certainly go the other way.
Yeah,
if Cousins and Jefferson get it rolling, I think it could go the other way. And if Alexander Mattison has a big day on the ground against that bad Steelers run defense.
There's another game where if I had to pick it straight up, I would probably take the Vikings. It's hard for me to give 3 points the way the Vikings are playing right now to a team coming off a victory. I will take Pittsburgh, and I will take the 3 points. Let's get a final thought from Jeff on anything in the NFL he likes. Reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at Talk North Pod. See all of our shows as they are released and our live show schedule. You go to TalkNorth.com to see all the shows, outdoors, variety, and sports, and the archives of all those shows. And we hope to see you at one of our live shows here very soon. All right, Jeff, you have a final thought for us?
Yeah, I have a couple of final thoughts real quick. I think one of the things that really bothered me, we talked about the final play of the game against Detroit. The third and 10 play, when they dumped it off to the back, Igwebike, and he runs across the field to the sidelines, you've got to make that tackle. That was, and again, that was Dantzler missing a tackle. That was inexcusable too. Those are the kind of plays that New England's defense would make. A couple of teams that are interesting going in different directions to me. Miami has won 5 straight games, kind of anonymously after a 1-7 start. And Tua Tagovailoa all of a sudden stepping up, making things interesting there to see maybe they will think twice about mortgaging the franchise to get Deshaun Watson if Deshaun Watson gets out of his jam up. And so that's interesting to me. And the Saints, just what's happened to them, 5 straight losses, the injuries have just been devastating. You talk about injuries teams like the Vikings have had. Well, New Orleans, Jameis Winston, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, several of their top offensive linemen. I think Cam Jordan just went on the COVID list. They just had all kinds of problems in New Orleans, and it's ruined their season. But yet they're 5-7. They're not out of it yet.
Right. And I think it's fascinating, too, that Tua started playing well basically around the time that the trade deadline passed and he was stopped looking over his shoulder at whether Deshaun Watson was going to come in and take his job. And since then, I don't think he's as talented as some of the guys who went at the top of the first round. I don't think he's as he didn't fall into the great situation that Mac Jones did, but he's a pretty good player. I mean, he's accurate, and that is the first thing you want out of a quarterback is accuracy.
Yeah, I think the big question was him. Can he stay healthy?
Yep.
But he's winning games now for Miami. So we'll see what shakes out there.
Good stuff from Jeff. Please follow us both on Twitter. Follow Talk North Pod on Twitter. Check out TalkNorth.com. Subscribe to your favorite podcast app. And thanks so much for listening to TalkNorth.com.